You want God to speak to you through him. Why don't you praise God and tell God, speak to me right now. I'm preparing my heart. I'm ready to hear from you. We're so thankful to have Brother Prado with us this morning. Why don't you stretch forth your hand and bless him as he comes. We love you, brother.
Amen. Let's give the Lord Jesus a great big hand clap of praise. Amen. If you have your Bibles, we're going to go to the book of Jeremiah, the 29th chapter. And the 4th verse. Thank you, sir. And I'm just going to get right into the Word of God here this morning. Now, let me just clarify this before I get going. Let me tell you who I'm not preaching to today. I'm not preaching to church hoppers. You know, some people play church like they play checkers. They just go from church to church till somebody crowns them king, you know? So I'm not preaching to church hoppers. I'm not preaching to people that are in the wrong relationship. Somebody say amen. I'm not preaching to somebody who's been trying to make it work with their boyfriend for the last 20 years. If he hasn't proposed yet, he's not going to. If you need to ask him to propose, he's not going to. I'm preaching to people that love God. They've made it up in their mind that they're going to serve God wherever they go. And I'm preaching to people that know this is their church. This is their God. This is their pastor. And this is their time. Somebody shout amen. Somebody shout amen. Amen. So let's get going into the Word of God. Jeremiah 29. Good to be here again with you all. Verse number 4. Shout amen when you got it. I apologize. I'm reading to you out of the ESV today. I lost my iPad, but that's another story. So, anyways, ESV 29:4 says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat their produce, take wives and have sons and daughters, take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare you will find your welfare. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are among you deceive you, and do not listen to their dreams that they dream. For it is a lie that they are prophesying to you in my name. I did not send them, declares the Lord. For thus saith the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place." And I want to preach to you for just a couple of moments this morning on this thought. God put me here. God put me here. Can we say that together? God put me here. Amen. Let's put our Bibles down and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Jesus, we love you. We appreciate you. We thank you that already you've spoken to us this morning. I pray now that you would confirm your word through the preaching of your word. God, I pray for your anointing and your blessing in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Let's give the Lord a great big hand clap of praise. Amen. Turn around, shake two people's hands, give them a great big God bless you, and you may be seated. The particular text that we're reading from this morning is, of course, found in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah is perhaps one of the most unique prophets of the Bible. He is rather unique because he is one of the first prophets, not the first, but one of the first prophets that we see his ministry not taking on a dramatic demonstration of power. In other words, many of the prophetic dynamics of his ministry are not accompanied by visible miracles. Jeremiah does not turn water into wine. He does not raise the dead. He does not feed multitudes with small fragments of food. Instead, he weeps. He weeps, and he speaks on the behalf of God. He is known by most lovers of the Bible as the weeping prophet. He is responsible, at least by most conservative estimates, for writing three books. In fact, one of them is called the Book of Lamentations, which means to weep. He is a crying man. And what makes things even more problematic for Jeremiah is that he weeps to a people that will not listen. And there's nothing worse than pouring out your heart to somebody who will not listen. It's perhaps one of the most difficult things we will ever do. And those of us who are parents with grown children probably know that feeling well. Yes, sir. Amen. This 29th chapter and these several verses are actually a letter that is written by Jeremiah and Baruch, who is his scribe. And it is a letter that is written during a very difficult time in Israel's history. Now, without going too much into detail, Jeremiah is a prophet who is sent to the divided kingdom. Now, this divided kingdom is comprised of two parts, the north and the south. Israel, for millennia, enjoyed a unified kingdom, and it then splits due to certain circumstances, which I won't go into. And God sends prophets to the north. The kingdom of Israel is now divided. The north retains the name or the title of Israel. The south part of the country becomes known as Judah. God sends Jeremiah to Judah, and he is their prophet, and he is there to try to lead them and to guide them. And God sends Jeremiah a very complicated message to tell Judah. And Judah becomes challenged in having to believe for the first time ever whether or not it is possible to maintain a religious, social, and cultural devotion outside of their native soil. Jeremiah tells Judah that God gave him a vision, and in this vision, in so many symbols and imagery, that God is going to send a power from the north, a nation of strangers or aliens, which is, of course, Babylon. And that God is going to send Babylon their way, and that they are not to resist the oncoming army, but they are to yield to it.
And this is exactly what is going on in this letter here in the 29th chapter. God is telling Judah, Babylon is on its way. You are not to take up arms. You are not to fight, but you are to yield to this. You are going to be taken captive, and you are going to go into Babylon. Now, as you can imagine, there are several tensions that come into play here, because nobody wants to serve God in a strange land. Nobody wants to get outside their comfort zone. Nobody wants to become captive to not only a people, but of course customs and dynamics and situations that are odd to them. And Jeremiah tells them this is exactly what is going to take place. You are going to end up somewhere that is unfamiliar to you. And here in the 29th chapter, there's a climax in the letter in verse number 9, where Jeremiah begins to tell them, stop listening to your dreamers and your prophets and your diviners. They're all false. I want you to surrender. And in so many words, God's message is very clear. No matter how much they try to get out of this, no matter how much they resist this, no matter how uncomfortable this is going to be for them, God is putting them there. Amen. And I want to preach to you today that there are times in our lives when God is going to put us in situations and in circumstances that are very uncomfortable. They are very odd. They are very awkward. They are not what we want. They are not what we signed up for. We are going to be outnumbered. We are going to be surrounded. We are going to be criticized and ostracized. But I want you to know that that is not an indicator that God did not put you there. And that is not an indicator that you are outside of the will of God. I'm preaching to some good saints right now that you are not at the job that you want to be at. Amen. I'm preaching to some saints right now that you do not have the health that you want right now. I am preaching to some saints of God right now that your parents are not getting along like you wish they would right now. Amen. I'm preaching to some young people that you are having to go to school and it seems tormenting every day right now. But I want you to know that just because you're going through some bad times and just because you're going through some hard times, saint of God, it does not mean that God is not with you. And it does not mean that God has left you and that God has forsaken you. And it does not mean that you are not in the will of God. I want you to know that even if your marriage isn't where you want it to be right now, it doesn't mean that you married the wrong person. Amen. I want you to know that every marriage has its hard points. Every marriage has its down times. Amen. There's going to be days when you fight week in and week out. There's going to be days when you're fighting in the church parking lot. There's going to be days where no matter what you do, no matter how many pennies you pinch, you can't get out of debt. There's going to be days when your kids don't listen. There's going to be days when your family turns on you. There's going to be days where no matter how good you eat, no matter how much you monitor your health, it's still going to crash. There's going to be days when you're going to go to school, and no matter how cool you try to be, and no matter, amen, how unconfrontational you try to be, the girls are still going to make fun of your poof, your skirt, amen, your shoes. No matter how nice you try to be, they're still going to call you church boy and make fun of you and do all that. And I want you to know that that is not an indicator that you are out of the will of God. That is not a sign that it's time to quit church. That is not a sign that you should stop praying. That does not mean that God is not real. That does not mean... Come on, somebody. In fact, I want to preach to you today that your Christianity is not really Christianity until you are put in a situation where everything opposes your Christianity. It's easy to be a Christian in here, but you got to be a Christian on the job. It's easy to be a Christian in here where we all praise God, but you got to be a Christian over there where everybody's cussing. It's easy to be a Christian up in here where everybody's dressed nice, but you're going to have to be a Christian out there where people are thugging and people are living foul. It's easy to be a Christian up in here, but you're going to have to be a Christian out there. I'm telling you right now, it's easy to serve God when you're surrounded by friends and family, but there's going to be a time when friends and family turn on you, and you're going to have to keep on serving God. And can I even tell you, amen, that there'll be times that God will allow that to happen. There'll be times where God will allow the opposition to rise up. Amen. Your faith will be tested. It must be tested, and you got to pass. Amen. Because you can't have a test. You can't have a testimony without a test. I'm preaching to somebody right now. You keep asking God, why, get me out of this. And God's saying, you ain't getting out of this, amen, until I say you're getting out of this. You ain't getting out of this until I work this out of you. You ain't getting out of this until you learn how to be apostolic. Amen. Every day, all day, amen, 365, 24/7. You got to live for me. You got to serve. Come on, I'm preaching to some saints of God. You got to get up and live for God when Pastor Sutton ain't looking. You got to get up and live for God when your mom's not there, when your dad's not there, when your brothers ain't there. Come on, I'm preaching to some saints of God right now. You're living in a house you know you got to get out of, but right now it's the best you can do, and you got to live for God in that strange house. You got to live. I want you to know something. This Holy Ghost experience. Well, we can go back as far back as Israel here in Babylon. We can go back as far as Abraham. This religion that we speak of, this that we're involved with, this apostolic faith, this one God life, amen, it has always been meant to be mobile. Amen. We have the first mobile device. You know, I don't know about you, but let me be frank. Some people may not like this. But you know, we don't make a big emphasis about crosses here. You know, we don't got beads. We don't got statues. But let's be real. It'd be kind of cool to have some beads. You know, you get anxious and nervous, you got something to kind of rub on. You know, it feels kind of comforting to have like a little, you know, you could just kind of do this little thing real quick and shoot it up, you know? Just... I mean, as human beings, we're tactile. We're touchy. And I mean touchy, not like, leave me alone, I'm touchy. I mean touchy. We like touching stuff. And so there's this comfort in being able to see stuff and touch stuff. And then relate that back to God. And that's really where most of religion is actually at. They can't get beyond not having a bead. They can't get beyond not looking at a cross. Their faith can't elevate them past an idol or a statue. They can't even get past the most basic instincts of being a human being, which is just sight, touch, and sound. And God said, I want my people to be more than that. Amen. I want your faith to be sky high when you don't see nothing, because faith, in fact, is the evidence of things not seen. Amen. I want you to be able to believe in me and walk with me no matter where you're at, no matter what you're doing, no matter, you don't need a bead, you don't need a special city, you don't need a Mecca, you don't need, amen, you don't need a statue, you don't need a building. I want you to be able to contact me in the car at 7 in the morning on the way to work. I want you to be able to contact me in the emergency room when you can't get a hold of nobody and you're afraid of what the doctor might say. I want you to be able to contact me, amen, when you're in the hallways of your high school and everybody's laughing at you and you know you might get beat up in a few minutes and you got to touch God right now. I'm telling you right now, our religion is meant to be able to touch God anywhere, anytime, all the time. And let me tell you something else. This is supposed to be inside of you. Everything we do here has to get inside of you. It can't just exist outside of you. Listen, you know, how long have you guys been in this building? You know, probably over 10 years, I imagine. So there's a lot of memories here. I'm sure there's folks here, you could probably come up here and say, this is the place where I got the Holy Ghost. Some of you got like your favorite chair. I've been preaching here long enough to know you got your favorite chair. That ain't your chair. I know you become a hot mess if somebody else sits there, but that is not your chair. You got folks don't even tithe talking about that's my chair. That is not your chair. That goes double for you. And so there's a lot of feelings associated with what's outside of us. There's a lot of feelings associated with that little corner in the church or this chair or that room or this part or that rug or whatever. But you know what? This can't stop there, because this has got to go home with you, because that's where the real battle is, because church starts on Monday. Amen. That, I'm telling you, this is whatever happens here, it can't just be an external experience. It's got to be an internal experience. You got to take this word with you in your heart. You got to take this word with you in your mind. You got to take this word and this experience, this Holy Ghost. You got to take it with you on the job. You got to take it with you to school. You got it, because that's where the challenge is. That's where the opposition is. And you know what? God, let me tell you something about God. God is okay with that. God designed this thing to be greater than the world. God designed this thing to overcome opposition. God designed this thing to be able to overcome, destroy, and plunder anything that gets in his way. Amen. The world is not greater than this experience. Amen. The systems of this world are not greater than this experience. Amen. This word overcomes. This word topples kingdoms. This word topples principalities and powers. Amen. This world, I'm telling you, when you live this life in God, nothing will overcome you. If you are determined that I'm going to make it, no matter where I'm at, no matter what I'm doing, no matter what I'm going, I'm telling you, God will work with you. God will work with you and make sure that you make it. God. Can I preach to you? Amen. Joseph was taken away from his family. Joseph was taken away from his culture and thrown into Egypt. And you know what the first thing that was ever tested? You know, Joseph had every excuse to not behave like an Israelite. Potiphar's wife came up on him. Started soliciting him. And in so many words, Joseph had to let her know, I am not an Egyptian. I know I live here. I know I look like y'all. I know we wear some of the same clothing brands, but I'm not like you. There is something inside of me that my parents put in me. There is something inside of me that even though I'm miles away from it, it's right here. There is something in me that goes past my dad's tent, past my dad's country, past my family. I take it with me wherever I go. Do you not know that as far as Joseph knew, his whole family was dead? As far as Joseph knew, all everything his family ever believed was probably now dead and in the grave, but he knew it was right, and he said, I'm taking it with me no matter where I go, no matter where I'm at in life. Amen. Joseph was so sold out that he even told the Israelites, I don't care if it takes 450 years. When I die, you take my bones with you. I am not an Egyptian. I don't belong here. I'm here, but I don't want to be here. I'm here, but I hate this world's ways. I'm here, but I'm part of God's people. You can't just be a Christian here. We got to do away with this church on Sunday. Amen. Just living for God one day a week. Because you see, out here, it's easy to get into that. Everybody's saved. Go do outreach. Start looking for delinquents, people smoking, cussing, drinking. Come to find out they're the Sunday school teachers, some other church. I'm like, bro, what are you teaching the kids? But that can happen here at New Life, too. That can happen to the preacher, too. That can happen to you too. If you don't take this home, you got to take this home. You got to pray like this at home. You got to have an altar at home. You got to have Bible study at home. You got to sing your own songs at home. You got to talk in tongues at home. You got to have a Jesus name baptism experience at home. Pentecost has to be personal. It can't just be public. You got to have your own praying through. You got to have your own prayer meetings. Come on, if we don't do it, we're going to frustrate our children. If we don't do it, we're going to frustrate our spouses. There's nothing worse than somebody who's a Christian here and not one out there when God said you can do this all the time, everywhere you go. You know, there comes a time when you will face serious opposition to what you believe. God will not stop it. God will allow it. God will even put you there. And listen, I'm not just talking about getting picked on. I'm talking about going to the doctors too and getting a horrible diagnosis and having to look back at the doctor and tell him, I'm going to be all right. Oh, I don't think you understood. You're going to die. I'm going to be all right. You see, you got to understand, sinners don't think like you think. Because for sinners, this is all they got. In fact, the Bible says, if this is all we had, we'd be most miserable among all men. But this is not all you got. This is... I'm telling you right now, for people that live in one world and believe in many gods, this is the best they got. But we believe in two worlds and one God. This is not the best we got. We got another world coming. And no matter what happens, I'm going to be all right. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to keep trusting Jesus. If I end up in this hospital, I'm reading my Bible. If I end up, no matter what happens, I'm living for God. Come on. God allowed this. God knows what's going on. Maybe God's going to walk with me through this. I'm going to be all right. I'm going to get out of this somehow. I don't know whether it's going to be through medicine or divine healing, but I'm coming up out of this. And every step of the way, God's going to be with me. He put me here. He didn't leave me here by myself. And if I'm surrounded by people who don't think like me, I got a God who walks with me. Can I preach to you about Noah? Now, you know the Bible doesn't say this, but you got to remember Noah lived in a day when it never rained. And Noah was building a boat. Telling people it's going to rain. Nobody had ever seen rain. Now, listen, Noah's generation was crazy. Do you not know that Noah did not have kids till he was 500? Thank you. That's real. His world was crazy. Listen, I have a daughter. And I'm telling you, my wife ain't watching this, so I could say this. I don't know if I want to have more kids. And it ain't because I don't like kids. It's because this world's crazy. I'm telling you. And on top of that, I worry a lot. But that's another message. But I do. I worry about these things. I worry about going to school. I worry about what happens. I worry about the choices she'll make. I worry about the influences. I worry about the music. I worry about the drugs. I worry about the promiscuity. And I think to myself, and in fact, I believe Noah struggled with all these things. I think Noah knew my world is crazy. God's fixing to destroy this place. I ain't having no kid. And when he turned 500, he thought I should, God told him, you're going to build a boat. He said, I should probably have some kids. Wise man. But do you not know that everybody probably laughed at Noah? Do you not know that Noah and his family were one of a kind? And they were outnumbered. They had people laughing at him. They had people scoffing him. And do you not know that there was probably even days when Noah, when the wife and the kids were probably like, Pops is crazy. You know, I probably would have been a good sport about it. I probably would have helped Dad cut a couple trees, but you know, after a few years, I would have thought, you know, Dad, come on. Cut it out. You are out of your mind. But Noah knew, this opposition does not change my experience with God. These voices do not change what I know God has told me. All being outnumbered does not change the word of God. Being outnumbered does not mean it's time for me to act fickle. My wife acting crazy does not mean it's time for me to act fickle. In fact, let me tell you, in every relationship, I don't care who you are. I don't care how precious you are. I don't care if you last year you won Saint of the Year and you have the best attendance. There's a time when you get crazy too. There will be times in marriages where one of the spouses tripping. I don't care what you say. I don't care who you are. There will always be a time when one of you is not in your right mind. And that does not mean that it's time to quit going to church. That does not mean that it's time to... You gotta stand strong. And when your kids think you're crazy, you gotta stand strong. You gotta keep coming. You gotta keep showing up. You gotta keep reporting for duty, saint. Come on. I know people. Now this is serious. This is real. Because I know people that will live for God all up until the point till their family starts breaking up. Listen, Jesus was preaching. Jesus was preaching. He was teaching. And his family, his brothers, his sisters, and his mother would not come into the inner circle. They wouldn't break in. I don't know if I've said this here before, and I probably have, but in every church there's the crowd, the congregation, and the core. Your job as a human being is to get out from the crowd and into the congregation. Oh, you could be coming to church for years and be part of the crowd. Let me tell you. But you don't want to stay in the crowd. You want to go in. You want to press in. You want to be faithful. You want to be part of the congregation. And I'm telling you right now, this is not for everybody, but it's for a good amount of everybody. You got to, don't just be satisfied with being part of the congregation. Be part of the core. Be part of those saints that make this thing move. Be part of the inner mechanism. Be part of the... Don't stay on the outside. Get on the inside. Don't just visit. Be a member. Don't just be a member. Be a saint. Don't just play church. Be part of the church. And Jesus' family didn't want to face the opposition. They didn't want, because, you know, Jesus was looking crazy at this point. You know, it's easy to read your Bible and get, you know, real funny about it. But you got to remember, Jesus talked to stuff, trees, cursed them. Told his disciples, we're going to change the world. Quit your job. I mean, this is kind of crazy talk, talking to people. You know, you're going to eat my flesh and drink my blood? Telling people you must be born again? And that attracted a lot of negative attention. And his family sat on the outside. And I want you to catch this. They send somebody over to Jesus. And they tell Jesus, your family is without. And they are wanting to speak to you. Basically, they were saying, come here, Jesus. And Jesus looks around. He says, who is my mother? And who are my brethren? He says, they that do the will of my Father, that's my family. And see, the church, people in the church, people in this building this morning, you got to make up your mind whether you're going to be part of those people that are telling Jesus, come over here, or you're part of the people that are saying, I'm going over there. Wherever you're at, God, that's where I'm going to be. And if you're in tension, I'm going to be there. And if you're in opposition, I'm going to be there. And if you're contrary to everything I know, I'm going to be there. But I'm not going to try to get you to come here into my little world and do things my way, because I know it ain't going to work. Somebody say amen. Amen. Let's give God a hand. Praise right now. Come on, let's clap our hands to Jesus right now. Come on, I feel something right now in the Holy Ghost. Come on. You need a shake. You know what? I know when I'm talking to somebody, there's some folks here, you got to shake it off. You can't let other people affect what you know is right. You can't let other people change your mind about living for God. I'm preaching to somebody right now. Your family's coming on you. The fire's on you. You need to stand strong and keep living for God. I'm preaching to some parents right now. Your kids keep asking you, why can't we do this? And why can't we do that? And you thinking about going to another church? You out of your mind. God put you here 20 years ago. You need to stay right. Hey, my Bible tells me that God has given us pastors after his own heart. Can I tell you that God knew what he was doing when he brought you here? God looked at your marriage, he said, Pastor Sutton's for y'all. God looked at your kids, he said, Pastor Sutton is for you. Amen. God looked at your life, he said, Pastor Sutton's the perfect man for you. God knew your health, he said, this is exactly the kind of pastor you need. God knows your future, your end, your beginning, your middle. He says, this is the man for you. When God brings you somewhere, you need to stay planted. You need to stay put. Can I get personal? Don't tell nobody. This is between us. You know, I several years ago now, well, about 5 years ago, they say several seven, but whatever. I got into a situation where with my pastor, I've only had one pastor in my life. And I got in a situation where I thought, you know, I just felt like my pastor wasn't meeting all my needs. You know? I was just being very self-centered, you know, like I'm the only member in the church or something. And I had a small group of friends, and they were all feeling the same way too. And one after the other, I saw good young men, we're all the same age, turn on their pastors. I mean, literally, turn on their pastors. My best friend, the man who won me to God, turned on my pastor. Said, we don't like the way, you know, the reality of it all was this. They were all having personal problems. And they all felt that their personal problems was a result of the church and their connection to the church. And they were right. Because when you live for God and you're really tapped in, you will have problems. This is not one of those churches where we believe if you live for God, you're going to get a mink coat and a Cadillac out of it. This is one of those churches where we believe that you will enter into the kingdom of God through much persecution and perseverance. This is one of those churches where we believe that God might bless you and you might be broke as Job's turkey, but you coming up out of it, you going to heaven. Our job. And let me tell you something, in God's eyes, he'd rather have you be saved than rich. He'd rather have, I don't want a Cadillac or a mink coat if I'm going to hell. I want to be saved. I'd rather be broke and saved. I'm telling you, I went to praying. I went to fasting. I mean, I know you can't tell, but I really did. I fasted. And I told God, I said, God, I know you put me here. I don't like this situation. I never thought I'd be in a situation where everybody that I'm close to is turning on the man of God. I never thought I'd be in a situation where I actually have to really pray and fast about whether or not this is my church. But God, this is where I'm at. I don't like it. And God said, I put you here. I put you in this situation. I allowed this to happen. Can I tell you, God wants to know who the real seekers are. God, the Bible says he is looking, he is seeking, amen, for people that will worship him. I'm not talking about dancing, amen, and singing. I'm talking about worship as a lifestyle. People that will worship him in spirit and in truth. People that will seek his face when everybody else is running. People that will get on their knees when everybody else is betraying. People that will... If you live for God, I mean, really live for God, it ain't going to rub everybody right. And I'm close to closing. I'll even close my iPad and everything. Hey, can I tell you that Jesus hung on a cross, yelling, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? Bible says they wagged their heads at him. They parted his garments and gambled on him. His disciples left him. And Jesus hanging on the cross was in the perfect will of God. I'm done. I am done. But I'm being true to you right now when I tell you. You got to get some gumption. You got to get some guts. And stand. Because you are going to have to answer for your own salvation at the end of the day. You know, every time I come out here on the weekends, they keep me at the Hilton Garden or whatever it is. I am not kidding you. Every weekend, there is a family reunion going on. Is that just somehow here in Alabama? I mean, there's like family reunion week every week. They got shirts. They're loud. But I got news for you. On Judgment Day is not going to be family reunion. You ain't going up there with the Smith shirt. You going up there solo. You better live for Jesus. You better live for Jesus whether grandmama likes it or not. You better live for Jesus whether your cousin likes it or not. You better live for Jesus whether your brother likes it or not. You better show God I love you more than this world itself. I love you more than this shirt, and I love you more than family reunions. I want everybody to go to heaven, God, but if they don't, I'm going. Jesus.
Let's all stand. I know. You know, before I came to God, I had so many friends. I had so many friends. I don't know. I hope I'm not sounding negative here this morning. But I think it's a sad day when folks won't live for God because they're afraid of losing 100 Facebook friends. Well, let me tell you something. They ain't your friends anyways. And when you have a funeral, I guarantee you half the people you connected to on Facebook ain't coming. Hey, real talk. If in this life, you make two friends, you've done good. That is the truth. I said friends. But I remember as I started getting closer to God, it was amazing. People, I thought we were really close. I thought we were like this. Do you not know that some people, it's really hard when you're the one being manipulated. You don't see it. But do you know that some people only like you because they can control you? And the minute you try to get out from under their control, there's going to be problems. And some of them have your last name. Some of them may have given birth to you. Some of them may have given birth to the person that gave birth to you. Grandma can get nasty too. I'm Mexican. Well, I was born here. I eat tortillas and Lucky Charms. We were broke, so we didn't eat the real Lucky Charms. We ate the ones that come in the yellow bag. Just called Luckies. Now, I know Alabama's just getting their fresh influx of Mexicans. But Mexicans are diehard Catholics. And they teach Catholics, man. They teach them. You're born Catholic, you die Catholic. And in Mexican families, that translates that if you go to any other church besides the Catholic Church, your grandma is going to break out the broom. And I'm telling you, when I came to God, I had all kinds of family members that resisted it. They fought it. They hated it. But I knew what I was before. I knew what I felt at that altar. I knew what happened when I came out of that water. Some of you ain't
Some of you have never gotten baptized. I'm telling you, you need to do it. I'm telling you. I'm telling you that I can't even tell you what it's like. You got to do it. I can't even explain to you what it's like. All I can tell you is that when you get baptized in Jesus' name, bro, when God got a hold of me, I told myself, I don't care who comes against this. I don't care how much I get fought. I don't care how many friends I lose. I finished right here. This is last story. This is really. You know, I used to sell drugs. I don't know why I'm telling this story, but I'm telling the story for a reason, so bear with me. I know you're standing. I know you're grumpy. Cut it out. I used to sell drugs. This was probably about 2 weeks before I got saved. I mean, really got saved. I actually used to tithe all my drug money. I mean, that's how messed up I was. At least I tithed. Yeah, I mean, I was coming to church like that. That was me. But I'll never forget. I'll never forget as long as I live. I was selling dope at school. And I was surrounded by all my friends. Friends. And these, I actually came to school that day with a very large sum of drugs. And I'll never forget, a bunch of guys caught wind of it. They came up to me and I got jumped by a bunch of guys. And I'm not kidding you, I thought, you know, I took a few hits. I thought, this is going to be all right. My friends are. I'm telling you, they ran out on me so fast. And I got beat to a bloody pulp. And I got up from that and I thought, man, I don't need this. Don't need this. These people aren't my friends. This life is not good for me. This world's ways are horrible. I need something else. And when I came to church, I found that something else. When I came to Jesus, I found that something else. And I thought to myself, nobody's gonna stop me from doing this. This is good for me. I don't care about the opposition. I don't care what the teacher says. I don't care what the school says. I don't care what my parents say. I don't care what this world says. I want this. There's a person here right now. There is a person here right now. I'm telling you, there's a person here right now. You would serve God, but you and your brother, you guys are tied up. You guys are like this. And you're both drug addicts, and you both get drunk, and you're both all jacked up. And you seriously don't want to give your life to God this morning because you're afraid of what your brother will say. How about you forget about your brother and get your eyes on Jesus? Here's what we're going to do. I want us all to lift our hands right now for about 5 seconds. And I want us to pray. I need the saints of God to pray right now. God, give people the courage to step out today and live for you. Come on, let's pray. Let's just pray. We're gonna do something a little bit more intense than that in a second. But right now, just pray for just a few seconds. Jesus, just hold on 1 second. Jesus. Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, I feel it right now. We need this. We need this here, right here. Come on, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Just pray for a second, new life. Come on. This is what we're going to do. There's people here right now. And I don't want everybody to come up to the altar. Saints of God, you should be able to take what I just preached and apply it. But I really believe that there's people here right now. You know I'm preaching to you. You know I'm talking to you. You know. I'm going to ask you right now to come out from your seat and come up here. With or without the person sitting next to you, you need to come up here. I'm going to wait a few seconds. I know this is awkward for you guys. I'm not worried. Thank you. I'm waiting. I'm waiting for you. I'm waiting for you. Let me tell you why I'm doing it this way. Because I think it is important for you as a human being and as an individual. And you know, we try to do all these fancy altar calls and, you know, we try to make it nice and, you know, we'll offer you back rubs and whatnot and pretty poems about puppies dying and whatever. But you know what? I'm doing it like this because some of you, you are very, very I'm doing it like this because you have got to make it up. You've got to do it out of your own volition. You got to step out with or without your wife, with or without your kids, with or without the person next to you. You are a very influential person. You are strong-willed. You are a very developed human being. You are an adult, and it's time for you to just pony up and just say, I'm going to the altar. I am giving my life to God in front of everybody. And if my wife don't like it when we get back in the car, can you guys wait like 10 seconds? Is that too long? We're going to wait 10 seconds because there's people that got to come up behind you guys. But I'm going to pray for these good folks right here. But I'm going to give some good folks back there about 10 seconds. Come on, I feel a decision coming on. Let's pray one more time. People, we're fighting for souls right now. I know it doesn't seem like it, but we are.
Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Every hand lifted up right now, let's reverence the Lord. Something very special is happening right now. New life, we need to take our time right now. Do not get in a hurry to leave church right now. I'm serious. Come on, we need to go into a little bit of a deeper gear here. The Holy Ghost has been talking all morning. Come on, pray, saints. Pray. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Itadalerebo sodo rose derelerebo sodo bose. Hikoyodololorodololorobosede. Hey. Come here, come here. I might lose some friends on this one, but let's go. I have a good friend. He went to a church his whole life, right? He was hooked on crack. He was a chain smoker. He had yellow teeth, yellow fingers, and he went to a very nice charismatic church. It had thousands of members. MC Hammer goes to that church. And when he went up to the altar, they told him, they said, he had met some apostolic folk that told him, you need the Holy Ghost. That's what you need. And they told him, when you get the Holy Ghost, you'll speak in tongues. So he went back to his church, and he told them, I need the Holy Ghost. I need the Holy Spirit. And they said, well, okay. So they took him in a back room. And they said, this is what you need to do. You need to accept Jesus. And lift up your hands. And now Jesus is going to give you a prayer language. And they said, just repeat after me. Dee, 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 dee. I'm not kidding. And he did what they told him. He said, okay, dee, 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 dee. Now do, 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 and dee, dee, and do, do. And they said, there you go, brother. You got it. Told me, brother, he said, Brother Prado, you know what I did? He said, I got so mad, I went outside and smoked a cigarette. Let me tell you, wherever Hammer go, that's a nice church, trust me. But Hammer need to come back to the Pentecostal movement. You know, Hammer was raised in a PAW church. He need to come back. Can I tell you? My buddy, he came to our church. It was little. We had roaches on the wall. It smelled like beer. It was a nasty little building. But we told him none of this dee, dee, dee. You need to raise your hands, tell Jesus you a skunk, and tell him to fill you with the Holy Ghost. And ain't nobody faking it. You need to stand up there by yourself, throw those hands up in the air, and shout hallelujah. And can I tell you, he threw up those fingers, those nicotine-stained fingers. He cocked back that head. He gave up that crack-infested heart. He said, Jesus, I'm sorry for everything I've done. And all of a sudden, he started speaking in other tongues. He told. And can I tell you, That liquor store robbing crackhead, he turned around, he became a preacher. I'm telling you right now, when you get the real thing, it'll turn you around. I'm preaching that.
Jermaine, you know why I'm preaching that right now, Jermaine? Because there's folks in here that are walking around with a made-up prayer language. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, and the way you know you don't have the Holy Ghost is because you've never spoken in other tongues. Now, I know somebody right now is thinking, well, that's not what my pastor teaches. Well, let me tell you what the Bible teaches. Every time somebody got the Holy Spirit, they spoke in other tongues. Acts chapter 2, they spoke in other tongues. Acts chapter 8, they spoke in other tongues. Acts chapter 10, they spoke in other tongues. Acts chapter 19, they spoke in other tongues. The church was not even born until they spoke in other tongues. Jesus said, believers will lay hands on the sick. Amen. He said, believers will speak in new tongues. Amen. The evidence that you have the Holy Spirit resident inside of you is that you are speaking in other tongues. And it has to be a work of the Spirit. It can't be nobody telling you to say deep, deep, deep. See, I'm preaching good. So now we're going to do this. I love you. I am on your side. You were not brought here today to be offended. But I'm telling you, we ain't talking about a prayer language. Bible don't talk about prayer language. We are talking about receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you have never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, I'm going to invite you in five seconds. I will not take any more time because everybody wants to go down Denny's. I want you to come up here. I'm not going to take these people's time. If you don't know if you have the Holy Spirit, you need to come up here. Man, I'm fixing to go get the person I'm talking to. I don't want to go get you. And you and me both know I'm talking to you. Would you please come up here? Because I'm taking everybody's time. What is your name? Chara. What is your name? Susan. Mariah. Mariah, God's got something special for you today. Mariah, have you ever got the Holy Ghost? You ever spoken in tongues? No. You ever spoken tongues? You ever spoken tongues? All right. You did. I saw you right. You spoken. You have. Good. Sir, are you coming for prayer? Come on up. Have you ever spoken other tongues? One time. How long ago was that? A couple years. Are you ready to renew it? Sure. Amen. God's ready. You're ready. God's ready. All right, your time is up. I asked you to come. Hey, man, God bless you. I want us to sing happy music. Nothing slow. I don't even want medium. Don't do a medium song on me. I know everybody behind me wants to leave, but we're going to praise God before. They need to work up an appetite. Some of these folks need to wake up. But hold on, let's. We are going to pray together right now as a church with these people because what we are going to pray for them applies to us. Will you pray with us, bro? Will you pray with us? All right. Can I have a young man come stand with him? Just one. Here, just go, bro. Just go. Just stand with him. No, who invited him? Who brought him? Oh, he's on the bus. Okay. Just stand with him. Here's what I want us all to do. I want everybody, if you can, If you're physically able to, I want you to raise your hands. And I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to repeat after me. Say, Jesus, forgive me of all my sins and all the bad things I've ever said, I've ever seen, I've ever done that are against your word and that is against your will. Lord Jesus, fill my heart full of your spirit, speaking in other tongues, just like in the Bible. In Jesus' name. Now give God a hand clap of praise. Now this is what's going to happen. I want you to put your hands up one more time. I want you to say hallelujah for me.
Hallelujah.
Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
God loves that word. Hallelujah literally means God, I give you my all. And when God hears somebody say hallelujah, he descends on that soul. I'm going to count to three. And on the count of three, I want you to begin to say hallelujah with all your heart, not with your head, but with all your heart. Saying hallelujah is not the Holy Ghost, but that is worship unto the Holy. And when you begin to say hallelujah, you're going to feel like you can't say it no more, and your tongue's going to loose, and you're going to begin to speak in other tongues. Do you believe that? You believe that? You believe that, bro? You believe that? You believe that, sir? All right. Here we go. Church, as these people begin to pray, you can either leave, but if you stay, extend your hands towards the front and help us pray. Close your eyes. Lift up your hands. Lift up your head. On the count of three. One, two, three. Don't stop.
I gotta praise,
yeah.
I gotta praise,
and
I
young man just got the Holy Ghost.
Right? Yeah. I gotta praise, and I gotta let it out. Yeah, come on and sing. Give him praise.
Give him praise. Woo. Give him praise.
Hallelujah.
Give him praise.
Ooh, yeah.
Give him praise.
Oh, yeah, when you praise.
Mariah just got the Holy Ghost.
Oh, when you pray.
Timothy just got the Holy Ghost right now.
Yeah.
Come on, Timothy, let it out.
Yeah. What you gonna do?
Win.
Tonight. Yeah, what you gonna do? Yeah, what you gonna do? Win.
Tonight.
Yeah, what you gonna do?
Go